So today is very, very important place of the scriptures, very important Torah portion. And let us continue with our scripture study. We'll look at the book of Numbers, and we'll go to very carefully read through this book, specifically chapter 8 through chapter 12. We won't read all the chapters, but we'll take very important lessons from this chapter. So I would like to start a little bit different from every time before. In the days before we had automobiles, who remembers the days? Yes. Thank you. You look young, yeah. In the days before we had automobiles on the road and car accidents were a danger to us, we had teams of horses on the road and horse accidents were a danger to us. What? Horse accident. What is a horse accident, you say? It happened when the horses were spooked. Suddenly, they would go racing madly in a different direction, scattering things everywhere and breaking the wagon they were pulling. They were out of control, and the driver could do nothing to stop them. Actually, it was a great danger for the driver. Okay, here's the question for us. Have you ever seen a person going through life like a spooked team of horses? And on the second question, please do not answer, okay? Have you ever felt like that yourself? Don't answer me, yeah. I don't want to hear your answer. We are super good people. Nothing with us. Truth is, you and I need a leader who can direct our lives, someone who can help us through the disturbing events we experience in our lives, someone who can keep us on the road. We need this leader in our lives. So the question for today is, who is directing your life? Who is directing your life, specifically your life? Again, everyone needs a leader, even you and me. We all need someone dependable who can direct our lives and keep us on the road. We all need a leader. The good news is that most people are looking for leaders. The bad news is that they make so many poor choices. People are guided through life by various motives and influenced by their experiences. Some simply follow the crowd because it's the easiest way to go. Where's the crowd? I'm there. So I'm not responsible for anything. I'm with people. Others imitate celebrities or are attuned to the latest fashion. And there are those who prefer to march on their own drummer, depending on their inner feelings for direction. So I'm going there I want to go, basically. Again, the question, who is directing your life? Today's Torah portion, Numbers chapters 8 through 12, has some valuable suggestions for us. In our chapters for today, we find a clear example of who should lead in our lives. Who is the leader for us in the scriptures? So I have a question for you. In your opinion, who was the leader of the people of Israel? Does the name of Moses come to mind first? Or would you consider Aaron? Maybe 70 elders. We have plenty of people. But let's read what the Torah tells us about the true leader who guided Israel in the wilderness. Who was the true leader in Israel? So let us open Numbers chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. And this is the answer for us. This is the answer for us. Numbers 9, 17 and 18. So whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tent, the people of Israel continued their travels, and they camped wherever the cloud stopped. At the order of Adonai, okay, verse 18, the heart of our message today. At the order of whom? Please pay attention. At the order of Adonai, the people of Israel traveled, at the order of Adonai the camp. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they stayed in camp. So the truth is, the very presence of God, His face showed the way for Israel. The Lord showed them when to travel and where to camp. It was the Lord Himself. What a blessing it is when God tells you exactly when and where to go. Actually, it's a blessing for us. So, but what about today? Is God leading in our lives today? Do we understand that the God of Israel wants to lead our lives, Beth Israel, and our lives separately? And do we, like ancient Israel, depend completely on God's presence and the direction of His Spirit? The true leader of Israel was the Lord Himself. He led Israel throughout their wilderness. Please understand me correctly. I would like to clarify everything. Of course, we need leaders of our country, of course, who care about the prosperity, the success, and the safety of our people. It is not a question. The Lord puts leaders. Of course, we need spiritual leaders. It is not a question. It is in the scriptures. Leaders who can correct us and show the direction in which we need to grow. We need spiritual leaders in our lives. It is a wonderful blessing to have parents to teach us and serve as example of living. I had my father, who was a great example for me. He was a great leader of our family. It is so good to be surrounded by wonderful people with godly wisdom. It's so good we are here together in this place, and we have godly wisdom. We can share with each other the direction from the Lord. It is a great thing. Whom the Lord has brought into our lives. These people are valuable. They're precious in our lives. But no human being is able to guide us the way the Holy Spirit wants to do. No one. No one. He's the closest one to us. He's always inside of us. He's our true leader. He wants to lead us every day of our lives. So let's come back to the Torah. Let's go there. We find an amazing example from the Torah chapter, today's Torah chapter. It's in Numbers chapter 11. So skip a couple pages and let's go into the Torah portion. Numbers 11, verse 24. Here's the story. Moses, he's tired. Do you remember what a blessing was to be a leader in Israel? Do you remember? If I want to meet, to where should I go? To Moses. Yeah. I want to drink. Where should I go? To Moses. Who is guilty? Yeah, we are serious today. I know. So Moses, he's tired. He's praying, Lord, please help me. This is your people. This is not mine people. This is yours people. Lead them, Lord. And verse 24. So Moses, it's the answer from the Lord to Moses. Moses went out and told the people that Adonai had said. When he collected 70 of the leaders of the people and placed them all around the tent. It was the moment when the Lord wants to fill them with the Holy Spirit. 70 elders of Israel. So to lead people of Israel together with Moses. Adonai came down in the cloud, spoke to him, took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 leaders. When the Spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied, but no afterwards. And here's verse 26, one of the golden verses in the scriptures. There were two men who stayed in the camp. They decided to stay in the camp. It's their decision. One named Eldad and the other Medad. Looks like they were brothers. Not everyone gets this joke, but okay. Eldad and the other Medad. And the Spirit came to rest on them, They were among those listed to go out to the tent, but they hadn't done so. They decided to stay in the camp. And they prophesied in the camp. So the Holy Spirit came upon them in the camp. So they prophesied there. And here it is for sure. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Yehoshua, the son of Nun, Joshua, the son of Nun, who from his youth up has been Moses' assistant, answered. And I love this answer. My Lord, Moses, stop them. What are they doing there? They're not even here with us. They're in the camp. Stop them. But Moses replied, what a heart. Are you so zealous to protect me? I wish all of Adonai's people were prophets. I wish Adonai would put his spirit on all of them. On all of them. You know, truth is, and please do not say this to anyone, it's our mystery, our secret. What a challenge it was for Moses to guide the sons of Israel. Sometimes they were not a flock of obedient sheep, but a flock of stubborn rams. And as soon as Moses did not give them his full attention, they began to scatter everywhere for 40 years. What the joyful ministry of Moses. Constant problems, murmuring, betrayal, threats. This is what accompanied the ministry of Moses throughout his life in the wilderness, always. Even Joshua became jealous of the many people who had received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So jealous, in fact, that he asked Moses to take away the extra anointing from those people. Moses, too much anointing. Do not give them so much. I just cut a little bit. We don't want them to be filled with spirit. So it is very important to remember. But Moses answered him, and this is his heart. I would so much like all the people of Israel to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. My job would become so easy if all the people were guided by God himself, would listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, where the Holy Spirit, there is no rebellion. There is no battle. There is peace of the Lord. Actually, Moses told to Joshua, I would like them all to be filled with the Spirit. It would be so easy to go throughout the wilderness if the Lord would be their Lord in their hearts. I believe that we who are believers in this place have a great responsibility to grow spiritually and learn to discern the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is so important. It is a critical, important part. I can tell you the truth. No one knows us like the Holy Spirit does. No one understands our weaknesses and inner battles like the Holy Spirit. No one else. He's closest one to us. No one likes us like the Holy Spirit. He's always for us. He's never against us. There is no one able to change our lives and lead us as the Holy Spirit can do. He is our true leader. Therefore, it is written in Romans, and please remember this place. This is one of my favorite places. Romans chapter 8, very short verse, verse 14, Romans 8, 14. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. We are the children of God. And His Spirit inside of us. And He is leading us. This is promise from the Lord that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. So I would like to ask you to turn to someone, say, Mazel Tov, congratulations. You are a child of God. You are important to the Lord. The scriptures have many examples which show the will of God for our lives. So let's take a look at some of these. We have actually quite a few places of scripture, so be patient with me. Remember, we have only a couple hours together. So it's very short time. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Samuel 8, 4 through 7. Here's the story. What is story? It is to all of us. It is about Israel at that time. 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 7. All the leaders of Israel gathered themselves together. And I have a question for you right here. Okay, help me understand. Who gathered together? All the leaders, elders of Israel. So they gathered together. They approached Shmuel, in the Ramah, and said to him, remember, leaders, elders, look, you have grown old, and your sons are not following your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. What a great idea, yeah? Why not? Shmuel was not pleased to hear them say, give us a king to judge us. So he prayed to Adonai. He was heard by these people. He was true prophet of Adonai with them. He was for them. He lived with Israel and served to Israel all his life. And here they came to him and said, give us a king. It's enough of you. We need a king. We want a king. Verse 7, Adonai said to Shmuel, listen to the people, to everything they say to you, for it is not you they are rejecting. They are rejecting me. They don't want me to be king over them. This is the root of the problem. They don't want me to be a king over them. Of course, it is so much more convenient when there is a king, for sure. For everyone except the king, actually. He's the guilty one. Because he becomes the guy responsible for everything. If things don't go well, you can blame the king. Easy. The Jewish people wanted to become like people in all the other nations. They would relieve them. That would relieve them of the responsibility of serving God personally. We have a king, he's responsible, it is up to him. The king could make the decisions, the people could blindly follow, and if anything went wrong, the people would be innocent. So this was in their minds in Israel at that time. So, but truth is, Israel at that time did not understand the perfect will of the Lord for themselves. They never learned the lessons of Passover and Shavuot. Do you remember that lesson? Two most important lessons, actually one. We can find this lesson in book of Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55. Leviticus 25, 55. It's a very simple lesson. Lesson of Passover, a lesson of Shavuot. So here's the Lord. He is telling his truth. For to me, the people of Israel are slaves. They are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am Adonai, your God. So to whom? To the Lord. He led them out of Egypt to be their God and their king. It was in his heart, his plan. The people were to be servants of God, not subjects to the king. The Lord himself wanted to be the king over them, guided them with the help of the scripture and his spirit. This is why they received the Holy Spirit and they received the scriptures, the Torah, on the mouth of Simon. So, I would like to be careful here. It is very important for us to understand that neither Moses nor the prophets ever took the place of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because their task was to receive direction from God and convey his will to the people of God. They never were kings in Israel. They were servants to Israel. So now about King David. You may say what you will, but God thought he was pretty special. So you can ask, what about King David, actually? King David, he was a king, and he was in God's heart. So let us look at King David's life. Why he was different from other kings? Why the Lord was pleased with King David? Let us open 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we will read about King David. What was different about him? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's start with verse 1. Adonai said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, how much longer are you going to go on grieving for Shaul, Saul, now that I have rejected him as a king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. I love this place. Fill your horn with oil. Let's start again. Let's do it. And set out. I will send you to Ishai, the Beit Lachmi, because I have chosen myself a king from among his sons. So one of those, one of his sons. Summon Ishai, verse 3. Summon Ishai to the sacrifice. I will tell you what to do, and you are to anoint for me the person I point out to you. So verse 6. Let's skip a couple of verses. When they had come, he looked at Eliab and said, so prophet looked at Eliab, the oldest son, and said, this has to be Adonai's anointed one here before him. But Adonai said to Shmuel, don't pay attention to how he looks or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. Why? Adonai doesn't see the way humans see. Humans look at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks at the heart. So, verse 10. I love this story. One by one, Ishai presented his sons, and here's the verse 10. Ishai presented 7 of his sons to Shmuel, but Shmuel told Ishai. So, where is the, it's all your sons, you hear? Are they 7 sons? Are your sons here? Shmuel asked Ishai. He replied, there is still the youngest one. He's out there tending the sheep. You know, youngest one. He's always youngest one. Yeah. I believe I have somebody else. He's youngest one somewhere there. Shmuel said to Ishai, send and bring him back, because we won't sit down to eat until he gets here. He sent and brought him in with ruddy cheeks, red hair, and bright eyes. He was a good-looking fellow. So, beautiful explanation. Adonai said, stand up and anoint him. He is the one. Shmuel took the horn of oil and anointed him there in his brother's presence. From that day on, the spirit of Adonai would fall upon David with power. So Shmuel set out and went to Ramah. A fascinating story. And a beautiful picture of how God works. So the father, can you please paint this picture for you? So the father brought all the sons of the prophet to the prophet, with the exception of one, David, the youngest one. I mean, he's there. He was the least handsome son in the family. There was no sort of greatness about him. He was not distinguished by strength or leadership abilities. So beautiful, curly hair, eyes, so nice young man. It's all what scripture says about him here. He was the youngest, and even his father seemed to have forgotten about him. He brought all the greatest sons to the prophet. Well, what was he good for, this David? He can play a homemade harp. Good thing about him. He can worship and pray. Whatever. Let him gaze the sheep. He can play and pray and sing all he wants there, far away from us. That is how his father and brothers looked at David, but they didn't know the mind of the Lord. You know what's the truth? David, long before he became king of Israel, was a worshiper filled with the Spirit of God. This was the truth. He became a prophet of God, and everything he did, he checked against the will of God. This was the secret of King David's success. This is why he was successful as a king. Because he was also the prophet, the anointed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to read a couple places for us today. John 14:26. We all know this place. But the counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. Lord, thank you for your mercy to us. Holy Spirit, please teach us everything. We want to be teachable. Yeshua, we want to follow you. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Lead us. Lead us, Lord. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. This is about new covenant. We are in new covenant with the Lord. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And verse 11. None of them will teach his fellow citizen or his brother, saying, Know Adonai, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Everyone, from least to the greatest, will know me. This is the essence of the gospel, the good news for us. We can know the Lord personally. He can lead us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to be always with us. You and I have been called to the heavenly kingdom. We are no longer like children who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We are called to be sons and daughters of Almighty God. He is our king, and he is our ultimate leader. We live in his kingdom. We are the children of God. I know so many things going on around us. So many things going on. So many winds out there. But you need to remember always, the first of all, you are the child of God. And later, and after that, you can be whoever you want to be. But remember, the first thing in your life, you are the child of God. This is your calling. This is your destiny. This is who you really are, the child of God. Amen. We are royalty, children of the King of Kings, and he wants to speak to us personally, to show us a more perfect way, to lead us in paths of righteousness. We know such joy, we experience such opportunity as we know the Lord personally and we commune with the Holy Spirit. It is so important to remember. I can't tell you how many times the Lord speaks to my hearts and led me and changed my directions and helped me to understand something. How many times I was obedient to him and how many times I disobeyed to him. It was always painful after that. I want to show the same truth through the example of other verses in the same Torah chapter. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Numbers 8, 1 and 2. I would like to touch it briefly, very briefly here. Numbers 8, 1 and 2. It is the same Torah chapter, but very important to remember. Verse 1, Adonai said to Moshe, this was the first time Moshe entered the tabernacle of Moses, his tabernacle, first time after they built it, or after they dedicated to the Lord. So, and the first time Adonai said to Moshe, tell Aaron, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to cast their light forward in front of the menorah. So the idea here. Immediately following the dedication of the Mishkana, tabernacle of Moses, and right after the sacrifices were made by the elders of Israel, it is in chapter 7, Moses went into the tabernacle and the Lord began to speak to him from the Ark of the Covenant. And the first thing the Lord commanded was to light the menorah. Let's say together, to light the menorah. It was the first commandment inside of the tabernacle, the first thing the Lord told Moses. So again, let me repeat this important detail. Light the menorah was the very first thing Moses heard from the Lord when he entered the Mishkana, the tabernacle of Moses. So what a lesson for us, how we need to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. The light of the menorah in the tabernacle of Moses indicated the presence of God in which there is no darkness. Probably you remember this place of scripture. It's in Matthew, but I don't want to open it. I just read it to you. Yeshua said about Pharisees, about the teachers of ancient Israel. He told about them. Let them be their blind guides. When a blind man guides another blind man, both will fall in a pit. Is it obvious? Is it simple? In the dark, you do not see where you should go. You want and you don't understand where trouble may come from. You don't see what is ahead of you. But when the light comes, everything becomes simple and clear. Light the menorah, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I have noticed when one of the most frequently performed miracles that the Messiah Yeshua performed was to open the eyes of the blind. So many times in the New Testament, he opened the eyes of the blind. To restore vision of those without vision, to restore hope of those who had no hope. It was his ministry. And when I read about these miracles, I see myself in the place of the healed person. I was blind before I came to God and repented. I was blind in my life. I did not know where I was going or what waited ahead of me. The whole plan for my life had always been just to get ahead. One more day. Be strong. Make through this day. Just to get the best deal possible out of life for today. For me, life was an absolutely meaningless existence. Time following from one day into the next. It was my daily life before I came to the Lord. But when the Messiah came into my life, when the Holy Spirit filled my heart, when I learned to recognize his voice, how everything changed for me. I felt the same way as did the young man in the parable of the prodigal son. For this son of mine was dead, but now he's alive again. He was lost, but now he has been found. The light of God brings joy, freedom, and meaning to our lives. The Spirit of God brings answers to our questions, order to our chaos, understanding to our confusion, everything in the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what was in the menorah? Sacred oil, the special oil that was an anointing for kings and priests. The oil, actually, it's the representation and picture of the Holy Spirit. So let us talk about the practical application of this truth in our lives. So let's be practical today. How can we be led by the Holy Spirit? And we can spend truly hours about this. So I would like to take only a couple steps here. So There's one main answer to this question: to know him personally, to obey him. And for this, it is necessary to develop your personal relationship with him. Let us say together, personal relationship. I have one advice for young people. Before you get married, know each other. You will be surprised how different you are when you learn each other. What do you think? Parents, are you agree with me? Parents so serious today. Wait a little bit. They are young today, tomorrow they will get married. And there we need to give advice to them. Know each other. Probably one of the most understandable instructions of how to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord was given to us by Rabbi Shaul. And let us open Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. So, don't be foolish. Let me say English. Don't be stupid. Actually, it's the same. But try to understand what the will of the Lord is. So, opposite of stupidity, try to find what the Lord's will is for your life. Don't get drunk with wine. Where is verse 18, yeah? Don't get drunk with wine, because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It is very, very pliable in Ukraine, actually. Don't get drunk with wine. So, verse 19, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an answer for us. Sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs to each other. Sing to the Lord and make music in your heart to him. In the Greek, it's like playing on the guitar, on harp. You're just making music in your heart. You know, when we play guitar on piano, this is only instruments, but the music comes out of our hearts. And when the Lord is present here, he doesn't look at this guitar. It's a beautiful guitar. It's a beautiful guitar. But he looks in my heart. When you sing there, maybe you're not opera singer. I'm so sorry to tell you. But your voice is such a beautiful for the Lord, because he is looking in your heart. You're better than opera singer, because he is looking in your heart. Always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So the practical steps. First, let us go quickly. Sing to the Lord and make music in your heart to him. What a wonderful and practical description. Easy. Sing to the Lord. This is one of the most important keys into the scriptural world. Please pay attention to the kind of music you listen to. What music is in your heart? What songs are coming to your mind when you hear the music anywhere? This is one of the easiest ways to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I love worship the Lord. I love play guitar. When we are together with believers, it's part of me to take guitar and play to the Lord. It is not work for me. It's not job for me. It's not difficult for me. It is a great thing to do. This is the way to open the spiritual world, to enter the presence of the Lord, to be there. And when you play or when you sing to the Lord, when you play music in your heart, this is a very special moment when you can connect with the Lord deeply, closely. So the second thing, studying the Word of God. Let's say it together, studying the Word of God. It said here, so don't be stupid, don't be foolish, but try to understand what is the will of God is how to understand. One of the easiest ways, studying the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never contradict the written word, the Bible, and therefore, the more time we spend studying the Bible, the more our minds are transformed and changed. We get to know the Lord and His will and become sensitive to His voice. So many times the Lord speaks to my heart through scriptures, through the scriptures. And just place of scripture can come up into my mind and I remember it. It is so good. Prayer, it is our conversation with the Lord, our time with Him. There is nothing simpler, but at the same time, nothing more difficult than constant prayer. Spending time in communion with the Lord. So I don't know how about you, but I noticed in my life. As soon as the time of prayer comes, there are always urgent matter. You always need to do something. Always somebody is calling to you or sending a message when you need to pray. So I want to encourage you, take time to speak with the Lord. Write this time on your calendar, exactly the same as you write down the time of the meeting. It's very important. And another important way is to pray in the Holy Spirit. When I'm driving, I'm praying. When I'm waiting something, I'm praying. When I'm walking, when I'm alone without my wife, actually. When I'm with my wife, I can talk to her. When I'm alone, I'm praying. Pray in your prayer language. It is a great thing to do. Simple. It is very important to be in spiritual fellowship with the saints. It is not just to eat together. It is also important. But to develop time to prayer together, sing together, reflecting on the Bible. When you come together, please take time to just think about the Lord. Part of this time. It will be very important for you. Serving in the local community. It is a very important part of your spiritual growth. When we can put our knowledge into practice and serve one another. And the last one, but not the least one, obedience is very important. And here I want to say very important things here. And please do not say it to anyone. It's really serious. When the Lord shows you something, obey. Even if you make a mistake and do something wrong, it is still better than doing nothing. It's easy to do nothing, but better to do mistake by doing something. We all learn from mistakes. So let's skip a couple of things. And I would like to finish with one story. It's a real story from my experience, from my life. I don't want to say about my experience. I would like to say about my friend's experience. Do you remember Rabbi Valeri? He was with us. He's a leader in the congregation in Nikolaev, Ukraine right now. And this is a true story. I heard many times from him. It's a very interesting story. So one time years ago, after he was just filled with the Holy Spirit, right after he received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he strongly felt in his heart to visit his sister who lived in a city 2 hours from Nikolaev. She lived in a city close to his own city. And it was one of the winters in Ukraine when there was so much snow so that the buses could not run. You know, we have closed roads. Nobody is going anywhere. It was the cold winter, really cold. So my friend went to the bus station and he was thinking about himself, what am I doing here? It is cold. Bus is not going anywhere. Why am I here? You know, but he felt this strong anointing from the Holy Spirit. So my friend went to the bus station because of his strong desire. And when he came there, there were no buses because of the snow. And different kind of thoughts went through his head. You know, when you want to obey to the Lord, you have different kind of voices at the same time. Do you? I'm happy that I'm not alone. I'm with you. It's good. What are you doing here? It is a winter, it's a cold. Go home, drink your tea. It is your imagination brought you here. You are so stupid because you come here on this cold day instead to be home and be with your family. you decided to obey, but it's not the Lord, it is your desire. And when he was ready to give up already, one bus came because driver was from that city and wants to go home anyway. Driver, he decided to get through all this snow. So my friend jumped into the bus, and in 2 hours he arrived to his sister's house. And this is a true story, once again. She lived in a 9th floor apartment complex in Ukraine. And when he rang in the doorbell, she opened the door in tears. So what happened to her? She had a great dispute with her husband. He wants to divorce her. And she was so distressed and depressed and lost that she decided to jump out the 9th floor. And as she walked to the door to do that, the doorbell rang, and here is her brother asking for her and asking her, what happened to you? He asked her basically, what happened to you? I'm here. What's going on? The Lord brought me here. What happened to you? Yeah, she came to the Lord at that time, the day, that moment, that really moment. It was an answer from the Lord to her through her brother. Can you imagine what would happen if he would not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit or simply to ignore him? I cannot convey how many times in my life the Holy Spirit guided, corrected, saved me from many things when I was obedient to him, and how many mistakes and problems I made in my life when I did not listen to the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. So I want to finish with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he will level your paths. Our experience can fail us. Our mind is not able to understand everything. Sometimes we don't understand things. But humility, obedience, knowledge of God is our only reliable guide. Amen. I would like to pray, and I would like to invite Ina. Can you come to me? Let us stand together as a congregation, as a mishpacha, and let us pray for 1 minute, please. David, can you play something? Yeah. Let us pray for a minute. I would like to ask the Lord to lead us, to direct us, to guide our paths, to speak to us. I believe we all want to hear the voice of the Lord. We all want to be open for the voice of the Lord in our lives. We want to be led by the Lord. Lord, we come to you in the name of Yeshua. Lord, we come in the name of Yeshua, and we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation through Yeshua the Messiah. And Lord, we thank you for fellowship with you through the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit who is in us, who is inside of us, Lord. And right now, Lord, we come to you in our simple faith, Lord, as a congregation. We come to you individually, Lord, as your people, as your children, Lord. And we ask, Lord, please forgive us each time when we doesn't want to hear your voice, to listen to you, Lord. And please speak to us. Lead us, Lord. Holy Spirit, please fill our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Lead us. Help us to see things through your eyes, Lord. Help us to understand things through your mind, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we are eternal, Lord, because you are eternal. Thank you that we receive you and we live in your eternity, Lord. Today, tomorrow, each day of our life, Lord, we with you, we are with you, Lord. You are guide. You are leader. You are pastor, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I thank you for your complete forgiveness of all our sins. That you not remember not our sins, Lord. You made us clean and new and fresh. We were dead, but you raised us from the dead. We thank you, Lord, for your resurrection power through Yeshua the Messiah, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, specifically ask you, Lord, help us to be sensitive to your voice in our family lives when we are together in our families, Lord. Help us to hear your voice, not the voice of our enemy, but your voice. Help us to see each other through your eyes, Lord, not through the eyes of our enemy, Lord, but through your eyes. Thank you for your shalom, for your deep peace, Lord, for your deep presence in us. Lord, we dedicate this day and tomorrow and all our lives, Lord, to you. You are Lord, you are Master, and we are your servants. We are your servants, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord, for everything we not accomplished in our life. Forgive us, Lord. We want to be able to do everything you tell us to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. And Lord, I thank you for everyone who are here, who thinks that they can't hear your voice, Lord. Please, Lord, speak to them, Lord, right now. Take all the guilt, all the feeling of guilt out of your people, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. There is no guilt in the Holy Spirit. There is no guilt. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord. We are so blessed by your presence, by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Yeshua. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful congregation, Lord. I thank you that I have this privilege, Lord, to be in your presence with our brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Yeshua. So let us close with Aaronic benediction. Yevarech ha Adonai veishmerech. Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Issa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.